Come on, Brother Doyle.
Thank you.
All yours. Close the prayer window.
Well, we're glad to be here this morning, and this is the first time we've been up since Daryl and Linda came to this country to visit them, and I just wanted to give a little bit of a testimony this morning. Dixie, stand, please. And this is my wife, Dixie. We've been in Mexico now for a little over 23 years. We're going on 24 years. We were raised on a ranch east of Colorado Springs, where Daryl and Linda are from. In fact, we're both natives of Texas, but our folks moved out and come up to Colorado. And Daryl was my Sunday school teacher when I was in high school, and led me to the Lord when I was 17 years old. That friendship has stayed. You don't have a lot of friends that go all the way through life, but praise the Lord, we do have a friendship that has stayed all through our life. Later on, after I got married, Daryl led my wife to the Lord. And it wasn't very long after that that God called us into the full-time ministry. But we've been on the mission field since 1977, and the Lord has been good to us. And we trust that we can be a blessing to you this morning, this afternoon, or this evening. You've been a blessing to us, and we thank you for your support to us, your faithful support. We appreciate it, and we appreciate your prayers. You know, in Mexico right now, there's a few problems. We have been very fortunate in the fact that... Just a minute. Is that better?
Yep.
All right. I'm not used to using one of these microphones. God has protected us. And... 95% of those that are affected in the violence in Mexico is drug related. We have in the area of Monterrey, we have two cartels fighting for the same territory. We have the Gulf Cartel and the Zetas, which are trying to get the area of Monterrey from Monterrey clear up to the border. And there's where basically there's where your violence is, in getting the control of the border between Mexico and U.S. because the drugs from Mexico are coming north, and United States is a good supplier, a good buyer for the drugs in Mexico, and so therefore there is some problems, but God has really been gracious to us, not having any problems at all. We've been around problems. We've been around a lot of killings. In fact, where our church is in Guadalupe, the road that you take up to our church, here just last month, the cartel came in, and the first seven taxi drivers that was waiting in line got killed. They just went down car by car and shot them. You don't know why, but they were all related into drugs. Where they quit killing, the next man in line is married to one of our members of our church, and it shook him up. This couple had just had twins a couple of weeks before this took place, and so we're really praying that this man will get into church and get saved. But you continue to pray for our safety, and we appreciate it very much. This morning, I want us just to look. I'll try to be out of here. It's 10:30. Is that right? Or quarter till? A quarter till? 10:30. All right, Dixie, you raise your hand. Let's look this morning in the book of Genesis, chapter 22. Genesis chapter 22. I just want to read one verse this morning. We're going to cover 13 verses, but I want to just read Genesis chapter 22, verse 1. It said, "And it came to pass after these sayings that God did tempt Abraham and said to him, unto him, Abraham, and he said, Behold, here I am." Let's pray. Father, we thank you today for your goodness to us. We thank you for everyone that is here this morning. And we just ask that everything that we would do would bring honor and glory to you. Just ask that you just be with the teachers that, as they teach in the classes down below. Just ask that you'd be with the pastor this morning. We ask for him to be able to recover from his illness. Be back with us tonight. Just thank you for the time we have this morning. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. In verse 1, God called, and as Abraham, being the friend of God, and we need to be the friend of God this morning, he said, "Here I am." You know what? When God calls, we need to be ready to say, "Here I am." It doesn't matter where he calls, or when he calls, or what he calls for. Our duty is to say, "Here I am." And there we find the principle, the basis of why Abraham was a great man of God. He was always there. He said, "Here I am." We find here also that God has brought a temptation. Now, a lot of times when we look at temptations, we think, well, that's no good. Why did God tempt him? Especially when we know that most of the time the temptations that come are temptations to do bad, to do evil, to do wrong. And those temptations are not from God. Those temptations come from the devil. God is always good, folks. He's always good. There is no evil in the God that we serve this morning. And don't ever forget that. When you are tempted, and that temptation is not evil, then it's from God. God is always good. God was good when he allowed Joseph to go into slavery and then later on to go into the prison. He was good. God was good when he allowed Daniel to go to the lion's den. God was good when he allowed the three children to go into the fiery furnace. Well, how can that be? I thought God loved us. Why does he allow that? God's good. Just because we do not see the end, we cannot say that God has not done good to us. You know what? When God allowed Christ to go to the cross, God was very good. And we need to be ready to do whatever God says. He says there, God tempted him. He does not tempt for bad. He does not tempt for evil. Well, let's look at James this morning. My notes are in Spanish. But let's look at James this morning. James chapter 1. James 1, verse 12. "Blessed is a man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life which the Lord hath promised them that love him. Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God, for God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man with evil. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death." So he says there, the evil temptations come when we're drawn away. But it is very plain in verse 13 that God does not tempt with evil, and he does not tempt any man with evil. Look in 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 7, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. He says there that our trials, our temptations that come, are more precious than anything that we can own in this world this morning. And they're more precious than gold. And today, gold is probably one of the most precious things that we have as far as a physical asset in our lives. But he says here, the trial of our faith is more precious than that. Look in Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews 11, verse 17. By faith, Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac, and he that received the promises offered up his only begotten son. Now, what we're looking at in the book of Genesis this morning is Abraham being asked to offer up his, what does it say? Only begotten son. And we look at that and that's, well, that, how could God ask us to sacrifice our children? What we find in the book of Genesis, chapter 22, is the first time that God has brought to man the fact that there had to be a human sacrifice for our redemption. The book of Hebrews tells us it is impossible for the blood of goats and bulls to take away sin. God was showing us in Genesis there had to be a human sacrifice. There had to be a sacrifice that wasn't like a lamb, wasn't like a bull, or it wasn't like a goat. It had to be a human sacrifice. And he was asking. He said, Abraham, bring your son and sacrifice him. It was a type of, everything that we find in the Old Testament is simply a shadow of what we find in the New Testament. It was a type. And a shadow is only a picture. It's not the real thing. But we find that in this chapter of 22 of Genesis. Now, looking at our temptations, what about the temptations that we have today? We see Abraham's temptation. Now we have a temptation, but now what does it say in 1 Corinthians 10:13? There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. Now that's God's promise to us this morning. When the devil comes to tempt in any way bad, God provides a way to escape. Why? If you're saved this morning, the Holy Spirit is living in you. He dwells in you. We do nothing that He does not know about. There's nothing done in secret with God. When a temptation comes, it's no secret for God. Let's go back to Genesis chapter 22. Look at verse 3. And Abraham rose up early in the morning and saddled his ass and took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son and clave the wood for the burnt offering and rose up and went into the place of which God told him. We find here immediate obedience. Abraham was a servant, and good servants obey. You know, there should not be any reason why we don't obey the first time. There's not any reason why we should not teach our kids to obey the first time. Our kids disobey because we don't make them obey. They're evil. There's no good thing in us. There's no good thing in our kids. They have to have the principles taught to them. Now, Abraham was obeying here. What was he obeying? He was walking by faith. Abraham knew this. God said, now I want you to go to Moriah, and I want you to sacrifice your son on one of the mountains of Moriah. Abraham knew the destiny. If you're here this morning and you're saved, you know the destiny. But you don't know the road. You don't know the crooks and the turns that's going to come in life. We know our destiny is heaven. Abraham knew his destiny was Moriah in one of the mountains. But by faith, he was led by the Holy Spirit to the exact spot where God wanted him. The Bible says the just walk by faith. If that's so, then our destiny is heaven. We walk by faith and take the turns and the crooks in life that God brings to us. That's exactly what was happening right here in this story with Abraham this morning. 3 days. 3 days journey, not knowing how, not knowing the way, but knowing the destiny. And they arrived. Look at verse 4. Then on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. He was guided by the Holy Spirit. When he got to the place, God said, this is it. This is the place. You have arrived. Now, in verse 5, and Abraham said to his young men, abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go up yonder, will go yonder and worship and come again to you. We find here in this verse the hope of the resurrection. Now, Abraham knew what he had to do. He knew the orders. But yet when he talked to his young men, he said, you wait here. He said, Isaac and I are going up on the mountain and we're going to worship. We're going to have a sacrifice. But he said this, we will come back. Abraham didn't say, I will come back. He said, we will come back. The only way for Abraham to be able to say that was the fact that he believed God. He had already accepted the promise. God promised, he said, Abraham, out of your loins, I will bring forth a great nation. Isaac come out of the loins of Abraham. Abraham accepted that. He knew that this was the heir. This was the beginning of a great nation. And yet he said, I'm going to sacrifice my son, but he will be raised again. By faith, Abraham saw that. There was no other, he could not explain how. He could not explain to his servants, we're going to have a burial and there will be a resurrection. But he said, we will come again. There is the promise of the resurrection, folks, in the Old Testament. We look at the New Testament, we see the resurrection in the New Testament, but what did Abraham see? He saw, by faith, the resurrection. We will come again. Hey, you go to the grave, you will come again. You will come again. Look in verse 6. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac, his son, and he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and they went both of them together. And Isaac spake unto Abraham, his father, and said, my father, and he said, here am I, my son. And he said, behold the fire and the wood, but where is the burnt offering? And Abraham said, my son, God will provide himself a lamb for the burnt offering. So they went both of them together. walking by faith. Isaac knew about the sacrifice. He knew what needed to take place for a sacrifice. They had wood. They had the fire pan. Abraham had a knife. The only one thing missing. And that was a lamb. And Isaac knew that. I don't think Isaac understood exactly what was going to take place. But he said, "Dad, where is the lamb? Where is the sacrifice?" Now listen, when God asks you to sacrifice people, He will provide for that. If you are living for God, Matthew 6:33, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." When God asks you to do something, He will provide. Now, Linda and Dixie were the best friends that they each other had when we were at Ellicott. Now, God asked us to leave. Is He going to provide what we need? Well, are we doing what God says? Are we obedient? Then He will provide the sacrifice. Still today, they're friends. There's other friends that have come into our lives. But God always provided. Folks, when Dixie and I and our two children left to go to the mission field, we had no support other than two people. Dick Mott in Colorado and a friend out of the church at Ellicott with the two people that supported us. We had no supporting churches. My pastor, Sterling Schaub, said, "We'll support you." I said, "No, you won't." I said, "Until every missionary is paid up," and I was a treasurer and I knew, "until every missionary is paid up, I will not accept money from this church." In time, they paid up and they supported us. But we left without any support. Listen, in 1977, I was getting $1,000 a month. Plus, I had all the gasoline, lights, house, milk, meat, everything was provided. My dad said, "You'll never make it." How could I argue? I never had been in this situation before. But I know one thing. Since 1977 to this date, we have never gone hungry. If we've missed a meal, it's been on purpose. Now, maybe we haven't had steak every day. We haven't had steak every day. When Dixie and I went to the mission field in Mexico, we had beans every day, three times a day. Now, I'm used to eating meat, but the meat wasn't there. The manna wasn't there, but there was something else. We had beans. We didn't have any extra money. But you know what? After 23 years, I still like beans. I told Linda last night, I said, "I'm ready for some beans." We haven't had beans since we left Mexico, and that's been a week ago. That's a long time without beans. We had a Mexican family living with us, and this man would not eat a meal if he didn't have beans. If Dixie didn't have beans made, he went down to the neighbor and asked for beans so he could have a meal. He would not eat without beans at that meal, breakfast, dinner, and supper. Now, we have a saying in Mexico. A meal without beans is like a kiss without a mustache. I've never had a kiss with a mustache, so I can't say. But we do eat. Hey, God supplies. He has always supplied. And he was going to supply here. Abraham said, God will provide himself a lamb. Now, God provided the lamb. He did not provide the Cordero de Dios. Oh, I'm sorry. He did not provide the Lamb of God. He provided a lamb. The Lamb of God would come later. But Abraham said that. You know what? I think when they built that altar, when Abraham laid that wood on the altar, and when he laid Isaac bound on the altar, I believe the ram was always there. I believe it was there when he got there, but God had not opened his eyes. Until God opens the eyes for us to see, we're blind. Everything was in place. It was time. And the lamb was still waiting. Look in verse 9. And they came to the place which God had told him of, and Abraham built an altar there and laid the wood in order and bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. Are you willing today to sacrifice whatever God asks? God asked for a sacrifice. God will provide for the sacrifice. But the question is, are we ready? Are we willing to sacrifice what God asked? Now listen, folks. It was not my idea to go to the mission field. I didn't want to go to the mission field. I wanted to be a rancher. We had a dairy of 400 cows. We milked 400 cows. I had Texas Longhorns. God blessed. I did not want to go to be a missionary. But I knew one thing. I wanted God's blessing. That I did know. So I had to come to the point to choose. Am I going to choose the dairy and the farm, which I loved, or am I going to choose what God has asked me to do? Every one of you. You may have different situations, but God still asks for a sacrifice. Are you willing? Look at verse 11. And the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, again, here am I. The first verse he said, here am I. Here in 11 he says, I'm still here, Lord. I haven't gone back. I'm still here. What do you need? Verse 12, and he said, lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him. For now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thy only son, from me. Now this wasn't a surprise to God, but the test is over. Abraham is done. The temptation is finished. Now, this test, this temptation that God brought to Abraham, when we look at it, oh, that's bad. But that wasn't bad. Now we can see why. Listen, God knew all along. God knew Abraham's heart. Abraham didn't know his heart, though. The heart is evil above all things. Who can know it? Abraham did not know his own heart. God knew. God brought the test so that Abraham could know. Look back in chapter 18, verse 19. God speaking, for I know him, Abraham, that he will command his children and his household after him, that they shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he hath spoken of him. He spoke of a nation. God said, I know him. I know how he's going to guide his family. I know what he'll do. When that temptation, when the Lord brought the temptation in chapter 22, verse 1, God already knew the end. Now in verse 12, God says, I know you. You know you. It's done. Verse 13. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. Abraham lifted up his eyes. God opened his eyes. And what did he see? He saw a ram. What did he tell Isaac on the way up the mountain? God will provide. Try God. Try. Trust him. And see if he won't do what he says he'll do. He's waiting. He is waiting to open the windows of heaven and pour us out blessings that we are not able to receive, and yet we do not have the blessing because we're not willing to sacrifice. We're not willing to step out and say, I believe you. And therefore, the windows of heaven are still shut. I wonder how many blessings are going to be in heaven waiting that could have been received and enjoyed here on this earth. It's simple obedience. Do you have faith promise here as you're in your mission program, or what kind of a mission? What mission? How do you do your missions? Do you have faith promise? Or okay, you make a promise. Our program, our Mexicans, we have a faith promise mission program. At the beginning of the year, when we have a missions conference, we take down the faith promise. Whoever wants to, it's not obligatory. Whoever wants to partakes. They fill out a card saying, I'm going to give 50 pesos, 100 pesos, 200 pesos a week. They don't sign their name. I'm not for signing names. It doesn't make me any difference. It's not my money. If you're giving money to me, you sign your name. If you're giving money to God, you just put down the price. That's between you and God. But God, and we do that by faith. We're saying, God, I believe that you will supply such and such every week for me to give to missions. The just shall live by faith. That's the way we do our mission program. This last year, folks, we went over our mission promise. We had promised 101,000 pesos. We come up with 153,000 pesos at the end of the year. Now, from that 101 that was promised, after the missions conference, we took up a promise again for the next year. It went from 101 to 183. 22 cards. We have 60 people, more or less, 55 to 65 people in our church that are faithful people. That's from babies, from these month old twins up to grandmas. 60 to 65. In that program, we have 22 cards filled out. So that meant the majority of the adults turned in a card. and it went and it almost doubled. Almost doubled. Why? They saw God provide last year. They say God will do more this year. Hey, at the end of our mission year, I gave every one of our Mexican missionaries 2,000 peso bonus. Why? That's what came in. Now, I'm banking on everybody keeping their word. If everyone keeps their word at the end of next year, the end of May next or end of April next year, I'll have money to give for our Mexican missionaries again. Because everything will be taken. Beside that, I took on two more missionaries, and I raised all of the rest of our missionaries up 200 pesos a month. That's not much. And you say, well, how much is 180,000? 160,000. 60,000 pesos is $5,000. So 180 would be $15,000. Now that's not a lot of money to y'all. Folks, my people, probably the best man in our church will not make over $200 for a week. He will not make $200 a week. And it goes down from there. It goes down drastically. The women that work in homes, that can clean homes or work in the market, they don't make $100. They do not make $100. And yet they're all willing to give. Well, how can they live? By faith. And God provides. Nobody gives over 300 or $30 a week. Nobody. But they all give. That's how we do it. That's how Abraham did it. Now let me ask you this. Are you in a position to receive the blessings? If you're not saved, you're not in a position. You can't even say, here am I. Because you're not there. Only the child of God can say, here am I. Everyone else, the rest of the world says, forgive me. That's the only thing they can do. To respond to the call of God, they just have to say, forgive me. They can't say, here am I, what you need. They're not in the army. They don't respond. They're not soldiers. We're soldiers. And we do what God says to do. We're thankful for this church. We pray for this church daily. We pray for all of our church, all of our individuals that support us. Why? I want God to bless them as we've been blessed. Lord, bless y'all this morning. Father, thank you for the time we've had. Bless in the rest of the service this morning. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.